Chapter 84. Orden was sent and sich stellen sich erist in alien fallen. When du lange dich jequalit weiser glitch wo der a fellet, och auf befall darfst du hoffen, den weis wo du's getroffen, geeth. West Ostlicker diven. Momentous things happened to Deronda the very evening of that visit to the small house at Chelsea, when there was the discussion about Mira's public name. But for the family group there, what appeared to be the chief sequence connected with it occurred 2 days afterward. About 4 o'clock wheels paused before the door, and there came one of those knocks with an accompanying ring which served to magnify the sense of social existence in a region, where the most enlivening signals are usually those of the Muffin Man. All the girls were at home, and the two rooms were thrown together, to make space for Kate's drawing, as well as a great length of embroidery which had taken the place of the satin cushions, a sort of piece de resistance in the courses of needlework, taken up by any clever fingers that happened to be at liberty. It stretched across the front room picturesquely enough, Mrs. Merrick bending over it on one corner, Mab in the middle, and Amy at the other end. Mira, whose performances in point of sewing were on the makeshift level of the Taylor Birds, her education in that branch having been much neglected, was acting as reader to the party, seated on a camp stool, in which position she also served Kate as model for a title page vignette, symbolizing a fair public absorbed in the successive volumes of the family tea table. She was giving forth with charming distinctness the delightful essay of Elia, the praise of chimney sweeps, and all were smiling over the nocent blackness, when the imposing knock and ring called their thoughts to loftier spheres, and they looked up in wonderment. "Dear me," said Mrs. Merrick, "can it be Lady Mallinger? Is there a grand carriage, Amy? No, only a hansom cab. It must be a gentleman." "The Prime Minister, I should think," said Kate dryly. "H. Hans says the greatest man in London may get into a hansom cab." "Oh, oh, oh," cried Mab. "Suppose it should be Lord Russell." The five bright faces were all looking amused, when the old maid servant bringing in a card distractedly left the parlor door open, and there was seen bowing toward Mrs. Merrick a figure quite unlike that of the respected premier, tall and physically impressive even in his kit and kerseymere, with massive face, flamboyant hair, and gold spectacles. In fact, as Mrs. Merrick saw from the card, Julius Klesmer. Even embarrassment could hardly have made the idle mother awkward, but quick in her perceptions she was at once aware of the situation, and felt well satisfied that the great personage had come to Mira instead of requiring her to come to him, taking it as a sign of active interest. But when he entered, the rooms shrank in two closets. The cottage piano, Mab thought, seemed a ridiculous toy, and the entire family existence as petty and private as an establishment of mice in the Tuileries. Klesmer's personality, especially his way of glancing round him, immediately suggested vast areas and a multitudinous audience, and probably they made the usual scenery of his consciousness. For we all of us carry on our thinking in some habitual locus, where there is a presence of other souls, and those who take in a larger sweep than their neighbors are apt to seem mightily vain and affected. Klesmer was vain, but not more so than many contemporaries of heavy aspect, whose vanity leaps out and startles one like a spear out of a walking stick. As to his carriage and gestures, these were as natural to him as the length of his fingers. And the rankest affectation he could have shown would have been to look diffident and demure. While his grandiose air was making Mab feel herself a ridiculous toy to match the cottage piano, he was taking in the details around him with a keen and thoroughly kind sensibility. He remembered a home no longer than this on the outskirts of Bohemia, and in the figurative Bohemia too he had had large acquaintance with the variety and romance which belong to small incomes. He addressed Mrs. Merrick with the utmost deference. "I hope I have not taken too great a freedom. Being in the neighborhood, I ventured to save time by calling. Our friend, Mr. Deronda mentioned to me an understanding that I was to have the honor of becoming acquainted with a young lady here, Miss Lapidus. Klezmer had really discerned Mira in the first moment of entering, but, with subtle politeness, he looked round bowingly at the three sisters, as if he were uncertain which was the young lady in question. Those are my daughters. This is Miss Lapidus, said Mrs. Merrick, waving her hand toward Mira. Ah, said Klezmer, in a tone of gratified expectation, turning a radiant smile and deep bow to Mira, who, instead of being in the least taken by surprise, had a calm pleasure in her face. She liked the look of Klezmer, feeling sure that he would scold her, like a great musician and a kind man. You will not object to beginning our acquaintance by singing to me, he added, aware that they would all be relieved by getting rid of preliminaries. I shall be very glad. It is good of you to be willing to listen to me, said Mira, moving to the piano. Shall I accompany myself? By all means, said Klezmer, seating himself at Mrs. Merrick's invitation, where he could have a good view of the singer. The acute little mother would not have acknowledged the weakness, but she really said to herself, he will like her singing better if he sees her. All the feminine hearts except Mira's were beating fast with anxiety, thinking Klezmer terrific as he sat with his listening frown on, and only daring to look at him furtively. If he did say anything severe, it would be so hard for them all. They could only comfort themselves with thinking that Prince Camaralzaman, who had heard the finest things, preferred Mira's singing to any other. Also, she appeared to be doing her very best, as if she were more instead of less at ease than usual. The song he had chosen was a fine setting of some words selected from Leopardi's Grand Ode to Italy. O patria mia, vito la mura cgli arci e la colonia simula crie l'erm torrida gliavi nostri, this was recitative. Then followed, ma la gloria non vito, a mournful melody, a rhythmic plaint. After this came a climax of devout triumph, passing from the subdued adoration of a happy andante in the words, Battissa mi voi. Ci offre still pedo al nemich lance per amor di costi ci al sol vi did, to the joyous outburst of an exultant allegro in, O viva, O viva. Battissa mi voi mentor nel mondes I favol I o scriva. When he had ended, Klezmer said after a moment, that is Joseph Leo's music. Yes, he was my last master at Vienna. So fierce and so good, said Mira, with a melancholy smile. He prophesied that my voice would not do for the stage. And he was right. Continue, if you please, said Klezmer, putting out his lips and shaking his long fingers, while he went on with a smothered articulation quite unintelligible to the audience. The three girls detested him unanimously for not saying one word of praise. Mrs. Merrick was a little alarmed. Mira, simply bent on doing what Klezmer desired, and imagining that he would now like to hear her sing some German, went through Prince Radzivill's music to Gretchen's songs in the Ost, one after the other without any interrogatory pause. When he had finished, he rose, and walked to the extremity of the small space at command, then walked back to the piano, where Mira had risen from her seat, and stood looking toward him with her little hands crossed before her, meekly awaiting judgment. Then with a sudden unknitting of his brow, and with beaming eyes, he stretched out his hand and said abruptly, let us shake hands. You are a musician. Mab felt herself beginning to cry, and all the three girls held Klezmer adorable. Mrs. Merrick took a long breath. But straightway the frown came again, the long hand, back uppermost, was stretched out in quite a different sense, to touch with fingertip the back of Mira's, and with protruded lip he said, not for great tasks. No high roofs. We are no skylarks. We must be modest. Klezmer paused here. And Mab ceased to think him adorable, as if Mira had shown the least sign of conceit. Mira was silent, knowing that there was a specific opinion to be waited for, and Klezmer presently went on, would not advise I would not further your singing in any larger space than a private drawing room. But you will do there. And here in London, that is one of the best careers open. Lessons will follow. Will you come and sing at a private concert at my house on Wednesday? Oh, I shall be grateful, said Mira, putting her hands together devoutly. I would rather get my bread in that way than by anything more public. I will try to improve. What should I work at most? Klezmer made a preliminary answer in noises which sounded like words bitten into and swallowed, before they were half out, shaking his fingers the while, before he said, quite distinctly, I shall introduce you to Astorga. He is the foster father of good singing, and will give you advice. Then addressing Mrs. Merrick, he added, Mrs. Klezmer will call before Wednesday, with your permission. We shall feel that to be a great kindness, said Mrs. Merrick. You will sing to her, said Klezmer, turning again to Mira. She is a thorough musician, and has a soul with more ears to it than you will often get in a musician. Your singing will satisfy her. For den was send and sich stellen, apostrophe, you know the rest? Sicher ist in alien fallen, apostrophe, said Mira, promptly. And Klezmer saying John, put out his hand again as a goodbye. He had certainly chosen the most delicate way of praising Mira, and the Merrick girls had now given him all their esteem. But imagine Mab's feeling when suddenly fixing his eyes on her, he said decisively, that young lady is musical, I see. She was a mere blush and sense of scorching. Yes, said Mira, on her behalf. And as he has a touch. Oh please, Mira a scramble, not a touch, said Mab, in anguish, with a horrible fear of what the next thing might be. This dreadful divining personage, evidently Satan in gray trousers, might order her to sit down to the piano, and her heart was like molten wax in the midst of her. But this was cheap payment for her amazed joy when Klezmer said benignantly, turning to Mrs. Merrick, will she like to accompany Miss Lapidus and hear the music on Wednesday? There could hardly be a greater pleasure for her, said Mrs. Merrick. She will be most glad and grateful. Thereupon Klezmer bowed round to the three sisters more grandly than they had ever been bowed to before. Altogether it was an amusing picture the little room with, so much of its diagonal taken up in Klezmer's magnificent bend to the small feminine figures like images a little less than life-size, the grave Holbein faces on the walls, as many as were not otherwise occupied, looking hard at this stranger who by his face, seemed a dignified contemporary of their own, but whose garments seemed a deplorable mockery of the human form. Mrs. Merrick could not help going out of the room with Klezmer, and closing the door behind her. He understood her, and said with a frowning nod, she will do. If she doesn't attempt too much and her voice holds out, she can make an income. I know that is the great point. Deronda told me. You are taking care of her. She looks like a good girl. She is an angel, said the warm-hearted woman. No, said Klezmer, with a playful nod. She is a pretty Jewess. The angels must not get the credit of her. But I think as he has found a guardian angel, he ended, bowing himself out in this amiable way. The four young creatures had looked at each other mutely till the door banged and Mrs. Merrick re-entered. Then there was an explosion. Mab clapped her hands and danced everywhere inconveniently. Mrs. Merrick kissed Mira and blessed her. Amy said emphatically, we can never get her a new dress before Wednesday. And Kate exclaimed, thank heaven my table is not knocked over. Mira had reseated herself on the music stool without speaking, and the tears were rolling down her cheeks as she looked at her friends. Now, Mab, said Mrs. Merrick, come and sit down reasonably, and let us talk. Yes, let us talk, said Mab, cordially, coming back to her low seat and caressing her knees. I am beginning to feel large again. Hans said he was coming this afternoon. I wish he had been here, only there would have been no room for him. Mira, what are you looking sad for? I am too happy, said Mira. I feel so full of gratitude to you all, and he was so very kind. Yes, at last, said Mab, sharply. B-Buddy might have said something encouraging sooner. I thought him dreadfully ugly when he sat frowning, and only said, apostrophe continue. Apostrophe apostrophe I hated him all the long way from the top of his hair to the toe of his polished boot. Nonsense, Mab. Oh, has a splendid profile, said Kate. Now, but not then. I cannot bear people to keep their minds bottled up for the sake of letting them off with a pop. They seem to grudge making you happy, unless they can make you miserable beforehand. However, I forgive him everything, said Mab, with a magnanimous air, but he has invited me. I wonder why he fixed on me as the musical one? Was it because I have a bulging forehead, ma, and peep from under it like a newt from under a stone? It was your way of listening to the singing, child, said Mrs. Merrick. He has magic spectacles, and sees everything through them, depend upon it. But what was that German quotation you were so ready with, Mira, you learned puss? Oh, that was not learning, said Mira, her tearful face breaking into an amused smile. I said it so many times for a lesson. It means that it is safer to do anything singing or anything else before those who know and understand all about it. That was why you were not one bit frightened, I suppose, said Amy. But now, what we have to talk about is a dress for you on Wednesday. I don't want anything better than this black merino, said Mira, rising to show the effect. As some white gloves and some new buttons, she put out her little foot, clad in the famous felt slipper. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.